It is beyond our understanding at times, but it is never beyond our God's understanding nor His care. And thank you for reminding of us of this. Well, let's take a few minutes tonight and talk together about MAP Ministry. We share in MAP Ministry, in your bulletin, there's a description of MAP Ministry that is tells you about what it is. You heard Garrison's testimony today, and I talked a little bit about MAP Ministry. Let me just start by answering the question, what is MAP Ministry? Well, as I mentioned this morning, this is a ministry that takes men who have received training theologically for pastoral ministry, whether that is in the United States or abroad, whatever it is to which God calls that man. And yet, with all of that, they really need that next level of training. Because any of you know, in any endeavor, sometimes what you learn in school and real life are two different things. How many of you found that to be true in any field you're in? And ministry is that way, because what you learn in school is important, and there are things that educational institutions, theological institutions, are good at and things they do well. But there are some things a theological institution can never reproduce. A theological institution can never reproduce real life, day-to-day ministry and real problems and real ups and downs and real joys and real defeats and the things that just take place in a regular day-to-day life and leading the Lord's work. And so we have here, the Lord has really blessed us and led us to have a part in helping men transition from theological student to ministry practitioner. You know, if you are a physician, you go to medical school and you do all the things you do in medical school, but before they cut you loose to practice medicine, you are first a resident. And that means that you, with your education, now practice medicine under the guide of an experienced physician who helps you and guides you along the way while you are actually practicing. That physician, the attending physician, is the one ultimately responsible, but that attending physician helps that physician who is training a medical resident to develop his skills. How many of you are glad that medical students have residencies so they don't practice on you? Yeah. And so really that medical model is similar to what we would call it the mathetes model. Mathetes is a Greek term for disciple, where Jesus took his disciples, and of those disciples he chose 12, Mark 3:14, that they should be with him and that he should send them forth to preach. So that Jesus takes the 12, and from those 12 he calls them to be with him. He lives with them. He invests his life in them. They watch him do ministry. He sends them out to do ministry. He coaches them. And there would come a time when he would leave. And with the enabling of the Holy Spirit, they carried on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you know how long has it been since Jesus ascended to glory? And do you know the work of Jesus is still going on today? That was some pretty effective training. And so we follow that model to give men a chance to grow. And they do so in so many ways. You see in your bulletin a snippet of the things that are involved. They have a fairly rigorous schedule of things that they're to do. And but it's not just that. It's not just about pastors. This is something that we do. We do. All of us together are part of this training process. In this year, our MAP president is Garrison Snow. Let me talk to you then about why we do MAP ministry. Can I give you four reasons, maybe five off to see how it goes? I really went long this morning, and when I go long in the morning, I try to be somewhat kind at night and go short. But how many of you know what that means? What that means is nothing. That doesn't mean a thing. All that means is he knows when he goes long. That's all that means. Well, actually, let me give you four reasons, and I actually am concerned about you here. And the first is this: why is this important to do? Why do Map Ministry? One is the value of the Lord's church. Do you know the Lord's church is important? You are important to God, not just as an individual, but His church is important. He loved the church and gave Himself for it. The book of Ephesians reminds us. We as His body, His church, have been purchased with His own blood. And this is so important. Jesus said, of all the things that I am going to do in the world, there's one thing that I am building. I'm building my church in this dispensation. There are a lot of things that come and go. Agencies come and go. Educational institutions come and go. But there is one thing that will not cease, and that is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is the builder. The church is so important to God that we believe it is something so valuable that the Lord's church deserves well-prepared leadership. Another reason why it's important is because of the responsibility of pastoral leaders. I'm going to have you turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, a wonderful portion of scripture on pastoral leadership and pastoral ministry. And I want to share a few things from this portion of scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'll start reading in verse 1. We will consider through verse 4. First Peter 5, verse 1. The elders, pastors, the bishops, pastors, elders used simultaneously, or interchangeably rather, in the scriptures. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who also am an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Now this is the first of three aspects of pastoral ministry. There is a feeding ministry where a pastor is to take the Bible and he is to teach the people the Bible and teach them how to think biblically and teach them how to live out the Bible. A feeding ministry. I hope that you are well fed here. And that doesn't necessarily mean long all the time, right? Have you ever been in a sermon and after the preacher preached for a number of minutes, you said, you know, I think he said all that he really needed to say? How many of you felt that way this morning? Don't raise your hand. Come on now. Some of the kids raised their hand. Yeah, I felt that. Hey, listen. But are we being fed the script? Are we being taught what the Bible says? Are we being fed a well-balanced diet of biblical truth and of biblical even sections of scripture and kinds of literature? Things that are timely to where we live right now and things that may not be all that exciting, but it's important to know, to understand about God and His Word and His truth and as He reveals Himself. There's a feeding ministry, but then there's another ministry that is described here in your Bible, verse 4. There is a leading ministry. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Here's the leading ministry. Taking the oversight thereof. To take the responsibility of leading. And then you see these contrasting statements that are listed there that make a negative statement and a positive point. And so you read, not by constraint, but willingly. Tells about your attitude toward the service of ministry. And then we're told, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Tells us about our attitude toward money, if you're a pastor. And I'm making you very nervous when I start talking about that. Then he tells about the attitude toward leadership, and he reminds us that this is, verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but examples to the flock. So that leadership is not about the exaltation of the leader. It is not about manipulating people. not trying to control and manipulate people, but to truly serve them for their benefit and for God's work in their life. And then there's one other aspect of ministry that is put in here, but it is put in so subtly you almost miss it because the way it is placed in the scripture, so that these individuals who are serving in this pastoral leadership role are examples of the flock. And that is a modeling ministry. There's a leading ministry and a feeding ministry, but there's a modeling ministry. So that it isn't just something that our pastor just puts on when he goes to church and he puts on the facade and he puts on the show. But the reality is, if you were with him away from the show, you would see a whole different kind of a show. The reality is that part of a pastor's ministry is the living of the truth day by day in a very consistent way that is exemplary, not perfect. How many of you are glad it's not perfect? How many of you are glad that's not the standard? Nobody could attain to that. I gave up on that a long time ago. I couldn't keep up with it. But at least there's a consistent reality of the things that are preached from the pulpit that takes place in the pastoral leadership. And when we talk about MAP ministry, we work with these men on so many things, but we work with them on all of those areas of ministry, the feeding ministry, and they learn how to handle the word. And there are things that a Bible college can do, and depending on the level of education you have, that a theological institution can do, that they do well that we don't do. We could if we had to, but in our world, that's where those institutions come in. But there's a big difference between that and the reality of regularly handling Scripture and different genre and different kinds of Scripture and different occasions for which there's preaching, and the regular week by week by week effort of handling the Scriptures accurately and learning how to do all of this and hone your skills, because these are skills that take time and experience to hone. And so we help our men, and we have people here that help the men with the sermons that they turn in. And we have guys that read their sermons and critique their sermons and help them to improve their sermons. How many of you think it never hurts for our preacher to have a better sermon? Now, that's the one you need to raise your hand on, shout glory or something. Yeah. So we try to help these men in their ministry of feeding the word to people and handling the word and then leading, because you learn to lead by lead. And the ministry of a church is an interesting thing, because there's strange combinations of theology and truth, and there are aspects of a church that are business aspects that you need to run right. If you don't run right as a business, you're going to be in trouble. In fact, a lot of guys get into trouble not in the preaching aspect of ministry, but in the leading aspect of ministry, because they don't know how to run business. And you can have a great church, but if the bills aren't paid, what good is it? You're going to be hot and in the dark. And understanding all the things that go into the business of ministry, and understanding yourself, because every man is unique and different, and learning who you are and how you minister in the best way. And you put all of this together, and we work with this man to help him to understand the leading part of ministry. But then when we work with these men as they work with us and our pastoral staff, and they work with you, what we want them to see is that example, the modeling ministry, that we are just people that are working through problems and issues and questions that we all have. Someone said to me once, well, you know, you have this ministry set up and it's very systematized. You ought to see the assignment sheet that we give. It's very systematized what we have the guys do. And someone said, doesn't it ever get boring? And I said, oh, absolutely not. And I'll tell you why it never gets boring. Because each man is different. Each one of these guys is different. For various reasons. Their personality, where they are, their background, the areas where their strengths are. their own vision, their calling, the areas where their weaknesses are and where they really need to grow. Each man is different. And you know, life changes all the time. Some things are always the same, but even though they're always the same, how many of you know that things always change at the same time? And so there are always challenges. So every time, every challenge we have, a guy walks through it with us. The victories, he shares those with us and we learn from them, because that man is going to go through so many things in his life and he has to learn how to respond so that he is watching us here as a congregation work through issues, and he's watching you model, and he's watching all of us model, and he's learning. He may like what he sees, he may not like what he sees. In fact, now that I think about it, I don't like a lot of what I see. But we're striving. And living so closely, of course, because of your graciousness in providing housing for these men and providing as part of our missions giving, you provide a monthly stipend and you provide all the resources so that these men can invest the time in themselves here and are available so that we can share this together. And they can see up close and watch this, watch ministry, the ups and the downs modeled out and honestly assessed. So this is one of the responsibilities of pastors, or some of the responsibilities of pastors, and we're helping our men that come and are part of it with us in this area. Well, then there's something else that is significant, and this is important because of the responsibility of generational training. It's why we do MAP, because we believe in the model that Paul sets forth for generational training. Go in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's count how many generations of ministry the Apostle Paul had. Here we go. Now therefore, verse 1 of 2 Timothy 2, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. Now hold on a second. It starts with Paul, the things you've heard of me. He's the first generation of ministry. And then the things that thou hast heard of me. So Paul's the first generation. Timothy is the second generation. And not just Timothy, among many witnesses. There were other men who also were part of Paul's ministry training. Timothy was one of many men. In fact, when you read the scriptures and you read about all the people that Paul has with him at different times, and he says, listen, I've got brother so-and-so with me. He says, hey, y'all. And sister so-and-so says, hey. And brother so-and-so says, he has these people that are such a part of his life that his leadership was training and mentoring other people. And not just that, look in your Bible again, verse 2. The same commit thou to faithful men. So the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, there are other men in whom you are to invest your life, but not just for them, because this is the third generation. Not just investing in them for the sake, for their blessing, but faithful men, look in your Bible again, who shall be able to teach others also. Four generations of ministry impact. Now that's a worthy goal for any church, isn't it? That we as a congregation invest in people who then invest in other people who invest in other people, so that this is a generational ministry. That's the way it ought to be for all of us within a congregation, whatever our role is. And the Apostle Paul specifically tells Timothy, I want you to be aware that as a pastoral leader, I made intentional investments in leadership that I want you to make in generations of leadership. Boy, the local church is a leadership intensive organization or organism. It is in leadership intensive. And if there's anything we need, is we need men who are prepared and equipped to lead in this spiritual battle. And then there's one more reason why we do MAP ministry, and that is because of the place and responsibility of the local church. You're in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Would you turn back a few pages to 1 Timothy chapter 3? 1 Timothy chapter 3, and the Apostle Paul in verse 14 tells us of the purpose statement of this epistle in 14 and verse 15. These things I write unto thee, hoping to come to thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, the Apostle Paul makes a proposal about pastoral leadership. He said, I'm writing this to you because I do want to come there. I want to come see you, Timothy. And Paul and Timothy were close. And Paul mentored Timothy as well as so many others in ministry. But he gives us a proposition then about the place of the church. He describes this church, the church, the local church, as, verse 15, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The imagery is a building. And the ground, think of this way, think of it this way. Think of ground footings and then pillars on top of those footings around which the church is, the building is built and it is structured. And he reminds us that this church, the local church, is the place where the truth is to be guarded and kept and from generation to generation passed. The local church. Now, I am grateful for theological institutions. I've benefited greatly. I'm not sure if the theological institutions that I've gone to are so all that proud of me, but I'm grateful for them. I promise you that. And as much as I believe in education, I am for education. I'm certainly not for ignorance. But I think we all need to understand that while education has its place, this assembly and churches like this assembly, we are the ones who must be the guardians of the truth. Convictionally. Accuracy of understanding the Bible truth and biblical doctrine. And people who as individuals and as a body are committed to standing for the truth. And one of the reasons that we have MAP ministry is it is our way, how God has led our congregation in just a very small way to help in this next generation of leadership for those who will be faithful in their generation for the truth. Now, training people is not just something our pastoral team does, our pastors do, and it's part of what we do. It's wonderful. It's really challenging, to be honest with you, but it's wonderful. But it's not just something we do. If you think this is something that our pastors do, and we don't do that, our pastors do it, you've missed it. Because the Church of the Living God is not just pastors. If it were just pastors and we're all pastors, boy, I'd be in big trouble. Otherwise, how are we going to pay for everything? We can't all, but the Church of the Living God is all of us and all of the uniquenesses of God bringing together individuals, and he puts us in this body, into this church. And we believe this, that the local church and the people of that local church are the ones who train pastoral residents. So here's what it means for you practically, and I'll be done in a moment. That means that I'm going to ask you with every resident, and do this as God gives us residents year by year, I'm going to ask you And this year, Brother Garrison is our resident. I'm going to ask you to make an intentional effort to invest relationally and have contact, maybe invite him with your family. Maybe you're going to have a meal. Maybe you're going to say, hey, let's go. Let's make sure when we visit this week, would you go with me and visit when it's outreach week? Or you're going to make an intentional investment relationally. Because you better believe there are a lot of things that a man, when he finishes mat ministry, he'll forget. But I promise you, he will never forget the people that touched his life. So I'm going to ask you to make an investment personally and intentionally in our MAP resident, Garrison Snow. I'm going to ask you to do something else because many of you are involved in your area. You're a teacher. You're on the security team. You're whatever. There are 100 things that take place in this church that make it what it is and make it work and put it all together. 100 things that you carry out. And depending on the role that you have, some of you are going to be asked to train him. Now, training isn't just, here, I'm going to throw you in and do it. Training is, let me show you what I do and let me explain how I do it. Let me show you what you're going to do. And then I'm going to, after you do it, I'm going to evaluate what you did. I'm going to coach you on it. And then we're going to do this again. I'm going to give you something else to do. Now, that takes a lot of effort to do. And there are forms that we use that help you and all of that. And there's a whole process and a system that we do so that over the year, Garrison's going to get all of this input. But would you make it when it's your, would you take this so seriously? Because there are going to be so many people in the future of Garrison Snow that he will touch that are going to say, I am so glad that somebody took the time to help him to understand how all of this works. And you have the chance to do that. So I'm going to ask you, when it's your area of training, to make sure you prepare and help the resident in a practical way. And then would you make sure that you encourage that resident along the way? Would you help and encourage that guy? You might sometimes need to have to correct him. And if that's the case, that's the case. But even that, do it nice. Be kind. And help him. How many of you know that there are people that have been, that are in your life along the way that have really helped you? You're grateful for people that have helped you? Boy, I feel like I need to recognize so many of you because you've helped me so much. And would you be one of those people that Garrison Snow, when he looks back on his life, there's a person that helped me. Sometimes that helping is, hey, you probably ought to pay attention to something here. Let me help you. Let me help you to buy. See, you didn't see this, but you just about ran that lady over. You're in a hurry. You about ran her over. Slow down a little bit. Slow down. She's on a walker. Come on. You know? So sometimes it's, hey, keep going, however it is, but just make sure you be that person that makes all the difference. Are you ready for that? Okay. Well, we're going to venture on this together. Garrison started this week with his orientation. He's in his place over there. He starts his first, really, a module at the Rescue Mission this week, learning about Rescue Mission ministry. That'll be part of his residency. And then after this week, he'll be on it with this battery of things. And believe me, it's a great list of things that he'll be doing. And what I want to do is make sure that we pray for him. I want us to take some time tonight and pray for our outreach. And then the other thing I want to do is I want you just to have a time to respond to the Lord. So would you stand with me, please? And I'm going to pray. We're going to have our pianists, instrumentalists are going to play a verse of a song. And this is your time to seek the Lord. And if there are other decisions that need to be made, we want to give you the opportunity to do that, all right? Okay, let's pray. So Lord, as we pray, we want your very best. We want this for Brother Garrison. You have brought him, of course, for us, it's such an honor, him being from our own church. And you've brought him through so many things to this point. He's seen a lot of men who have been part of the residency, and now he gets to be a pastoral resident. And he's been looking forward to it. We pray, God, you would help him to give, to receive the things you have. Help us, Lord, because you have given all of us the joy of sharing our lives with him, to help him in areas of life and ministry that will bless him and allow him to bless so many others in a life of ministry. So I pray you'd help us all. And Lord, as we together this week share in the ministry of outreach to our city, help us, Lord, to have that you give boldness and open hearts. Go before, I believe there be people that you certainly you have the power and the desire, and you will and can save. And this may be the week. And so we pray, Lord, for your help in that. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to have the instrumentalists play.